Tonight's a Shia Monday night, Chavtes Tammuz. Chavtes Tammuz. Yom Kippur Cotton tomorrow. Okay, so I looked over the Prokim about Chazok Asuya Lishtanos and the Rebbe of the Marit and the Marit, and I realized that if I do a Sikum the way we used to, or at the previous Sikumim, it won't be much of a Sikum after all. You know, a Sikum is when you have a broad topic and, you know, you give a summary, but here it's like very nitty-gritty, back and forth. Like, there's no point to a summary. The only summary would be to go over the whole Shakla V'Tarya again. So Doylem wants the Chaz of the whole Shmaitza again. And we'll go back to Perek Tes, and we'll just learn it again. I'm okay with that, whatever Doylem wants. But Doylem doesn't want to. Doylem wants to sit back and get the, like, a feeding tube. Right? So, I'll go over some major points, and then you'll wonder. The major points are very little. Most of it, it's like you learn a big Tosfos, and Tosfos has a major yesod in it, a major principle, but most of the Tosfos is the what I call nitty gritty, is the, you know, crossing every T and dotting every I and bringing a raya from a Gemara, and then going off on a tangent, because the raya leads you in a certain path, and then you want to say, okay, tell me over the Tosfos, the Chlolus. So I either tell you over the Tosfos, and it takes me 2 minutes, and it took us 3 hours to learn the Tosfos, or 3 days, or I say, listen, you want me to, I can't summarize a ping pong game, I can summarize a baseball game. I don't know, it's not a good muscle, Yeah, maybe it is. I could summarize a baseball game because, you know, I know you don't care about the balls and the strikes. And you don't even care about what happened in each inning. Maybe you do, so I'll summarize each inning, maybe. And you want to know the score, you know. But a ping pong game, like, I'm going to go start telling you every volley, so I might as well just replay the whole game again. What's the summary? So here also, I looked it over and I started writing out a summary. And I realized the summary, if it's a true summary of all the points that are really not the main point, then I don't see the point. If it's a little boring, Chas V'Shalom, of course, or a little tedious, or a little... So again, we could chazer it. I'm not able to summarize it. There's no summary. It's volleying back and forth. This svara, that svara, because there is a cheskos moment, because there's not a cheskos moment. When the suffix was noilad, yes, no, maybe. What's with this gemara? So I will summarize the main points, which then you say, so like, what took so long? Starting from Perek Tes, it's Tes, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. I'll summarize the main points. And there's not really much in the main points. And I don't know, if you could do a better job, you're welcome to do it. I don't mean that, maybe the way it sounds. I can't do it.
Did the Rav work on that question the Rav posed in terms of...
What?
Do you have any ideas in terms of the question the Rav himself posed?
Yeah, that's the summary.
In other words,
what
was pushing
Okay. Maybe, we'll talk about it. And I did make a few points, like... Klolidika points, more general principles that we have in the Stipler. This is the Kilos Yaakov, the Stipler, in Gittin, Simen Aleph. Be'inyan Eirechot Nemon B'Yisurin. Bach Hashem goes off on a tangent about Chazok Asuya Lishtanos, and he talks about it, the principles of it, and the main rayas, and how to look at it. And I have a Reb Kivager in Yeridei. I found that this sefer brings down. So we'll do Reb Kivager b'Neder. And I think those are like major, you know, more kolyistika principles. The rest is nitty gritty, volleying back and forth. I don't know how to summarize it. My only way of summarizing it is saying, let's chazer it. I don't have a way of summarizing it. You can't summarize a, I can't summarize a Shakla Vatarya. Most of it's Shakla Vatarya. Okay. So the Marit learns. The Marit learns that, well, first of all, he talks about Chazaka Dahashta, this is not really the main point, this really harks back to previous Prakim, whereas the Shmaitza insisted that there really is no such thing as a Chazaka Dahashta, except when you want to go to Chumrah for Truma V'Kachim, we look at the here and the now, but there's really no such thing as a Chazaka Dahashta. The Marit, at all. Well, the Marit agrees, really, because obviously when there's a Tarte L'Reyusa, right, do we have the Gemara Nida, that we say, Harei Chosel L'Fanecha, we see that the mikveh is below 40 Sa'a now, so there's a Chazaka de Meikara where the mikveh was kosher, and right now it's not kosher. So that will combine with the cheskos tameh of the person. You don't know when the person was tovel in it. You don't know if it was a kosher mikvah or not. So we have tarti l'reyusa. So then we follow the now. In other words, it supports the. So okay, in svara we said, if you recall, that again the yisod of everything we're going to talk about is the concept of chazaka, and I'll repeat myself, I'm not embarrassed, it's very important to know, because the yisod of rov we know, we intuitively understand, maybe we have it wrong, because we think it's the koach of the statistical majority, and we saw that it's not really statistics at all, it's a din of following rov, but rov we have less of a trouble conceptualizing when there is a rov. Rove means there's a majority. So either there's a rove of the Issa come on, you have a mixture of 10 things, and rove is one way, 6 is one way, or 7 is one way, and 3 or 4 are the other way. So that's a rove of the Issa come on. Or you have a rove of the lesser come on. Most animals in the world act a certain way. Most animals in the world are a certain way. Most people in the world act a certain way, and that's also a rove. But it's not hard to conceptualize rove. At least not till we learn the Shmaitzah about Rov, which is Shmaitzah Dalit. Chazaka is a little harder to conceptualize, but I think we've managed that. Out of all the learning of Chazaka that we're doing in this Shmaitzah and in the Shmaitzah before, with Cheskos HaGuf and Kanimtza Kanhoya, you don't realize how much we've learned. We've come a long way, maybe. We've learned a lot, and even if we don't understand maybe to the nth degree of what we've learned, but we've picked up important principles. So pretty much we know that the yesod of chazaka is, I like to call it status quo, which is Latin. I don't know what the Latin word means. But the Hebrew, the lumdus of the din is that the Torah recognizes the power, I'll call it. It's not mevarer that we see clearly. It's not telling us what, it doesn't deign to tell us what really happened. Because there's nothing compelling about the power of Chazaka. Rov, even if it's a Gzeres HaKosov, but it's pushing us to it's pushing in the direction of Birur. It's pushing in the direction of clarifying what happened. Chazaka doesn't even deign to do that. It doesn't even make a pretense of doing that. Chazaka says that there's a power, we call it even inertia. You know, in physics it would be called inertia. So you can't really talk about inertia in a legal system, in halacha. If something became osur, if something became mutter, if a woman became posel, if a mikvah became posel, if a tummy dick a person became tar, obviously there's no inertia. Not as I understand inertia as a physical force. But there's a legal inertia, meaning in B'makom Safek, remember we're dealing when there's a Safek, even though we had one case, we had the case of Pesach, Osa Pesach and Nazir, where we apply a halacha l'moshe m'sinai of tumas atahom, and you apply a certain halacha l'moshe m'sinai which says, ignore the tumah if you found out about it afterwards. A certain kind of tumah that nobody ever knew about. So there's a halacha l'moshe m'sinai that you could ignore it if you found out that you became tameh with it after you brought the Karban Pesach and after you finished being a nazir. But it's only if you're coming off of a tahara state. Shechezkas tahor tahor, v'chezkas tamei tamei. And that's really, really weird. And it's a case where you're not using chazaka b'makom a suffix. There's no suffix there. No suffix. Everything's known. Okay, so.
But even that, it fits the definition of chazaka of inertia.
Right.
So,
it does. I'm saying, but exactly my point. But the norm is makom suffix. It's a way of dealing with tzveikus. And one of the ways of dealing, again, the Torah is very concerned that we should deal with tzveikus. I remind you of Pesach Chapla's Shayla that had me walking around for a week in absolute rapture. Remember your question? He said, what's wrong with a suffix? The Torah tells us what to do b'makom suffix. It tells us to go l'chumra, to go l'kula. Why are we so interested in dealing with the suffix, especially Yest Pesach, with a chazaka, which doesn't even make a pretense at clarifying the suffix? It just tells you what to do. So why is it that much better than suffix deraisa l'chumra? It also tells you what to do. Go to Qumra. So we answered that the Torah doesn't want suffix. The Torah detests doubt. And suffix deraisa l'chumra, and you know, you have to go like this. It's we worked hard in Shmaitza Aleph till we clarified to ourselves that suffix deraisa l'chumra is not another way of dealing with suffix, like weighting down the side of Chumrah, telling you, oh, you assume this side happened. And it took us a long time, it took us a while to, and then there are Achronim that do learn that that's what it says. And we said, no, it's the equivalent of the Torah saying, don't cross a heavy highway. Don't do it, because you might get hit by a car. So it's not saying, like, it's not telling you to be afraid of the. It's not telling you to assume the tzad you'll get hit by a car. It's saying, I don't want you crossing a busy street. I don't want you eating a suffix deraisa. Don't eat it. Go to Chumra. So, and that's the answer to this question, because it doesn't even address. So you're just doing things out of doubt, and the Torah doesn't like to do things out of doubt. The Torah likes us to be rational and to. And that's a wrong word. The Torah doesn't want us to, well, maybe. It doesn't want us to do things out of doubt. It doesn't want you to say, okay, let's be machmir. You know, we don't know what the din is, so let's be machmir. The Torah doesn't like that. By chazaka, it's not really clarifying the suffix. Okay, but it's giving you a maslul of vados. It's telling you what to assume. Why the Torah decided that the power of chazaka is that? I don't have an answer to that. I don't think I have to have an answer to that. You learn out from psukim.
When we apply the chazaka, we use it, we make a psak.
We make a psak to assume one of the tzadim.
As opposed to
something that writes on the chumro, which doesn't tell us to assume anything. It says, don't cross the busy highway. Because you might get hit by a car, so don't do it. You're assuming that's right. You're assuming that's right. As much as your seichel knows that you haven't clarified it, you haven't clarified that that's the reality. And we know you haven't clarified that's the reality, and Chazaka knows it hasn't clarified that that's the reality. Because the Mitziut, if you have a question of a woman's an Eishas Ish or not, you're not going to clarify it by saying there's a Cheskos Eishas Ish. If you have a suffix when the mikvah became chaser, we know that you're not finding out the truth by saying it has a cheskas kashrus.
So what does the tzedakah do then?
What it does, it tells you to follow it. I'm not sure what you mean. Chazak is a psak of hamei dover al cheskaso. It's not an irrational psak. It says, listen, if you don't know if something changed, that's what, like, if you don't know if something changed, then assume it stayed the same until such time that you know it changed. I hear the logic of that. It's not logic, but I hear the logic of it. But it is the power of, I don't know, nurse is not the right. It's the power, you know, you can.
No, I want to say something, please.
I want to talk philosophically, and I might lose you because I'm not sure what I'm talking about. So, Koshkan, I'm going to lose you. If you remember back in Shmaitza Aleph, we had the realization that a suffix is not just in my head, I don't know, but there's a certain reality of suffix. It's a davar mitziyut. I submit to you that in the present state of the modern world, where people are very, like, pragmatic, like, I think the prevailing philosophy is pragmatism. People just just do it, or don't do it. They don't recognize anything transcendent. I have to think that I call the modern world, from Newton, or maybe from Descartes, whatever that guy's name is, and like the modern world, whenever the modern world started, it's like they don't recognize anything transcendent. Everything is like, you know, whatever it is, and we see it's getting worse and worse and worse. Like, and now, you know, they don't recognize now even the chashivas of life. It's only, you know, if you're alive, it means if you're accomplishing something and you're contributing something and you're enjoying life and you're up and you're living, then you're living. And if you're alive but you're just sitting like a vegetable, which they call it, so then you might as well pull the plug. Like, what are we getting? And they don't, but there's life. Life is the Maral. And you see, like, the Maral loves transcendency. Like, everything by the Maral is, and the Maral's word for it is nivdal. It's removed from its physical trappings. It's removed from its physical moorings. It's transcendent, conceptual. And in the modern world, conceptual is like, you look like a Meshuggah, you looked at like a Meshuggah, as a right-wing kook ideologue. Like, you know, you say, it's going to bring peace, you know. It's Zuar Seinu, like, you don't give away land. You know, nobody gives away his house to make peace. You fight. Crazy. What land is your land? It's only a piece of land, you know. So you be practical. You don't want to get killed. You don't want to die. Like, it's very not. That's what I think. I think the modern world is very pragmatic and doesn't care about concepts and doesn't think conceptually or doesn't value concepts. It only values pragmatism, have a good time. That's the way it's hedonism. What? You know, you have a knack of throwing in non sequiturs.
Okay. It's like,
you're right. You're absolutely right. That's what a non sequitur means. You're right, but that's not what I'm talking about.
I think I got a knack or something.
I'm sorry. No. Unless I'm not oymen on your death, it'll take me 40 years to be oymen on what you mean.
I don't know.
No, he's right. I want to say he's right. I want to explain what he said. As I said to the ladies here this past Sunday, the world is really, the modern world is really in the grips of atheism. It really, they go to church or synagogue, doesn't matter. No, they don't really believe in Hashem, the Western world.
The rest of the world too, not just the Western world.
Arab, they don't really believe in a Borei Olam. That's also part of not believing in anything transcendent, because that's the ultimate transcendency is Hashem, that there's something that's above everything else. So they will say Kochi Batsum Yad, because they can't believe in anything. They don't. And I hold it has to do. I know I'm darshaning now. It has to do with Darwin, and it has to do with Freud, and it has to do because, although there was a lot of MS in what each one of them said, you don't want to hear that. You know, although there was a lot of MS, it was like the Meraglim. It was mamish like the Meraglim. You have to believe Rashi and Chazal that if you want to give across Sheker, you're going to inject a little MS into it. So, because if it's just Sheker, so people will just throw it out the window. There is MS to what Freud, for sure, has a lot of MS to it. The whole idea that we're governed by forces that we're not aware of, that's a very Jewish concept, except the Jewish concept is we can become aware of it through, let's say, learning Mussar, and we can overcome it, and you don't really, you know, and Freud, you know, or even Marx held that history has a certain dialectic. Did I get that word right?
Yeah.
Dialectic, anybody? Rabbi Wine likes that word. So I just throw it in whenever I have a chance. And it's inexorable. You know, there's forces of history, economic forces, he held. And it's not real, and there's no Borei Olam. Like, there's no Borei Olam, really. There's a big apikursus in Marx also, and in Freud, because he really took away Bechira. And he put in a lot of MS. But then, like, the bottom line was Kfira because there's no Bechira. And if there's no Bechira, then nothing matters. There's no Schar V'Onesh. And if there's no Schar V'Onesh, so you might as well just do what you want.
I think the change also came during the industrialization of Western culture, because then, at that point, everybody in Western culture felt like it was the result of my work, because we were able to industrialize, irrelevant of what Freud or Darwin or they were a little bit earlier, but at that point.
No, they weren't. They were later.
Darwin was earlier. Darwin.
Then the Industrial Revolution.
Yeah.
No way. The Industrial Revolution was when they started machines. It was like right after the Civil War. No, like sometime after the Civil War. Darwin was in the late 1800s.
The Industrial Revolution actually in the U.S. according to the history books, come in around the 20s and the 30s.
Okay. The 30s of 1900?
Of 1900. And
we have a different understanding of the word Industrial Revolution.
Yeah. Yeah.
I understand when machines started. Like steam-powered machines were already in the 1800s. The Civil War had steamboats. Yeah. That's my understanding of the Industrial Revolution. Maybe you're talking about the shift of the economy.
Yeah,
to industry as opposed to agriculture.
Right. That's what some consider the industrial revolution.
When I learned in school industrial revolution is when men started using machines rather than animals. They used machines, and mamela they started mass producing, and everything became. Anyway, getting back to Chazaka, believe it or not. No. Getting back to Suffolk. Remember, it took us Suffolk is a reality. But it's a transcendent reality, because you can't say Suffolk is a reality. It's very, very conceptual. Because you either have a Sefer here or you don't have a Sefer here. To say you have a Suffolk Sefer is very conceptual. And it treats the Suffolk, it treats really legalism, legality, like a reality. But if you believe in Torah, the Torah is a law book. I mean, I'm sorry to say, it's not Goyish law, it's divine law. But And the male, it's Mitziuti. I'm not saying the Goyisha laws are Mitziuti. You know, they're pragmatic. They just make a law. That's why every law has an unintended consequence. Because every time they plug in a hole, they create another hole. Because it's man-made. Hashem is Hashem. So Hashem, that doesn't happen to Hashem. And so every law is a Mitzius. Every law is Mitziuti. It's describing the Mitzius of the world. So a suffix is also Mitziuti. Chazaka is a very conceptual force, and it says, listen, like, there is a certain, it's, there, there is a certain, like Rove, I know what it is. It's a majority. I know what Rove is. Again, there's always two things. I want to clarify this. It's very longish, but it's very important. You have the thing itself, and then the din to follow it. When I say halacha harov, I'm making two statements. I'm saying there's a metzias called rov that the Torah recognizes as a metzias, as a power, as a force in the universe called rov. And then I could say halacha harov. When I say, for example, by mamon, ein holchim b'mamon acha harov, I'm granting that by mamon I still have that force in the universe called rov, but I don't follow rov. You don't follow rov by mamon. But if I say l'moshol kol kavua k'machs al machso domi, you're saying a deeper statement than you don't follow Rove. You're saying that the Torah doesn't recognize the force, the metzius of Rove. Like, there's no legal metzius of Rove when it's kavua, which is a subject in itself. But I'm explaining it. Okay. So Chazaka also, and that's, I think it comes into play very much by Chazaka Suya Lishtanos. Because I don't think the Marit, maybe the Marit wasn't talking so precisely, but I don't think the Marit is saying Chazok Asuya Lishtanos is not a Chazoka. I think the Marit saying Chazok Asuya Lishtanos, you don't follow Chazoka. You don't follow Chazoka. There is a Chazoka, you don't follow it. And then you have cases that the Shmaitzer agrees, because the explanation will be it's not a Chazoka. Now, Chazaka is a reality, and it's a very conceptual reality. It's not a pragmatic reality, because pragmatism says if something's usur, it's usur. It's usur, but that's all, it's usur. It happens to be usur at this moment. Like, all there is the now, the hoveh, and it's usur. It's usur. It's transcendent to say it's not just osur, but it's becheskas iser. It's in a state of being osur. And that state, that's chazaka. That's the metzias of chazaka. It's very conceptual. It's not like rove, where I could, like, I could point to it. I instinctively know when there's a rove. There is a rove. Chazaka is like pure concept. Like, it's osur. It's becheskas iser, and there'll be cases in the Shmaitza, and there are cases in the Achronim and in the Rishonim where they are arguing about whether or not a chazaka exists, whether there is such a state, whether in such a case it can be said to be a state. What does the word state mean? We didn't define it in Shmaitza Aleph either. It's very conceptual. It's an intangible. When something is very, we didn't know when it's very either pervasive or it's just, it's transcendent. When it's more than, that's what we're saying. We're saying when a piece of meat is usur, it's not just usur. Usur refers to a point in time, and we're saying it is usur. When you say it's becheskos isur, it means it's in a certain state of being usur. It's like you're giving its being usur. I don't know, like transcendent. You know?
You're not just looking.
It's
at
being usur. It's not just this meat is usur. The meat is in a state of being usur. That's what the word chazaka is telling me. It's recognizing, and then following chazaka means that if you have a suffix, if the state, if the meat became mutter, if the state changed. So the following chazaka means assume the state stayed, or we habideu al chazkaso, leave the state. It's almost as if we're saying, you know, we're misuping if it became mutter or not. Leave it in a state of being usur, like even if it's mutter, like even if it became mutter, Mitzius, even if it became mutter Mitzius, but leave it in the state of being usher until you know that the state changed. And that's like inertia. You know, it's in a certain, we've created a bubble called, in English you say the state. In Hebrew, I guess I'd say the word matzav. It's in a matzav of being usher.
Condition of being usher.
Maybe even a condition. I'm looking for like a noun that's that creates like a bubble.
It's a time frame. Because basically when you're looking now, you're looking at a point on a timeline, if you will. But the chazaka is actually saying it's now and previous to whatever point previous, but it had points previous to the now where it was usher.
But I want to say why. It's not really why, but it's... It's because there's a state. So the state, like, exists. Until you know the state doesn't exist. I don't know, I remember when I learned Spanish in elementary school, there were two verbs for the word to be. Está, and I don't remember them clearly, but one was used when you're describing a change of a previous state. When you say the book is green, you'll use one verb. But when you'll say the light is green and your kavana is that it changed from red, you use another verb. Because it's a change. I remember the words is a change from a previous state or condition. Those are the words of the rule. And it really recognizes, chazaka recognizes, that's why the Gemara in Ksubis, like, there's a very strange lashon. I don't think it's strange anymore, but it says gedoy lechazaka. Because you see, when the Kohanim came back to do their avodah in the Beis Hamikdash and the Bayis Sheni, they were accepted, even though who knows what happened. Who knows what happened? And like Gemara called it, like, the power of chazaka is very great. Because so many tzfeikas, they could have intermarried, they could have become chalolim. So many years went by, they didn't really know what they were doing. And it's used really in halacha. Let's say you go, this Ethiopians are coming. So what the poskim try to do is, who knows what happened? They were living in their own society for a few hundred years, hundreds and hundreds of years. You don't know if they were getting, proper getting, not proper getting, who married who, did they intermarry, didn't they marry? But if there was a, if they always claimed they were Jews, and they always looked at themselves like Jews, and they wouldn't intermarry, like they weren't Mizbalel, and they, that's called a chazaka, that creates a chazaka, and they're Becheskas Jews. And now we say, well, Gedola chazaka, and they apply the rule of Gedola chazaka. I'm not passing halacha l'maisa now, but they'll apply Gedola chazaka. Chazaka is a powerful force.
Why are you shooting my focus on Jewish diamonds?
Whoa, we're going to get to that. I'm giving a hakdama. I want to explain that, again, just like you have Rove and you follow Rove, that's two different sentences. You have the Heftza of Rove, the Mitzius of Rove, and then the Din Torah to follow Rove, to follow that power. So Chazaka is also a Koach. I'm explaining it's transcendent. It says this is not only a sefer, but it's becheskas being a sefer. And really, you have, it's like looking at everything in the world, or every din of in the world, as being a state. So you're really saying, you're not just being pragmatic, like you're not just saying, oh, it's either us or a mutter, like what are you making me crazy for, you give me a headache. You know, it's either us or a mutter, what are you talking about? No, it's in a state of being usher, and then when we talk about if it became mutter or not, there's a force in the universe called a state, a known state, and the follow and that's a force. And following chazaka means you will assume that known state to exist until we know that it changed. It's really a very powerful statement. It's almost a philosophical statement, because if you just say it's asur, then you have nothing to build a chazaka on. Chazaka means it's muchzak to be a certain way. And that's already something more than it just being usur. When you say something's becheskas isur, you're saying more than just that it's usur. I mean, you see, he's using different words.
I always think it means less, though. If something's usur, you know, the badonis, it's usur. Becheskas isur means you don't know.
Very, 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 very good point. And you're right, but you're wrong. Meaning, sometimes when we say the sentence, sometimes becheskas isur, we mean to take it down a notch. That we don't know it's usur, we only know it's becheskas isur. But that's not the primary meaning of the word chazaka. When you say that sentence, that might be what you mean. But the concept of chazaka in the Torah is eric. See, you, because it's like almost a fallacy. It's like a play on words. Because in your sentence, it's becheskas isur. When you mean it's only becheskas isur, you're referring to the din of following chazaka. But I'm talking about before the din. I'm talking about following chazaka. What's a chazaka? Defining the word chazaka. You can't follow chazaka until you define chazaka. Say defining rove is easy. Defining chazaka is not. So when I'm talking about something's becheskas isur, it's not just usur. I'm not talking about the second sentence, which is following chazaka, which is what you would mean when you say, and like I learned the word only in your sentence. And sometimes it's used in that way. You're saying it's becheskas isur, you mean it's only becheskas isur. You don't even know that it's also.
Becheskas bisarim, something like that. It's not necessarily.
You're right. But there, Granda has a different legal ramification. Because they mean you don't have to wait 6 hours. But you can't eat it with milk. It has become a code word for a certain halachic status. But you're right. It means you don't know that there's basar there. But it's becheskas balua from basar. Anyway, we'll pick it up from here tomorrow. Very, very good point. But I think it clarifies things. Because there you talk, I mean, it's only becheskas. But you're talking about the second half of the sentence. That you're following chazaka. I'm talking about the first half of the sentence
of it being
following chazaka. What is chazaka? Right.